How I wish that our level of seeking is so great. Amen. That I don't even need to give this message. That we cannot stop even praying. You see, brothers and sisters, I must say that I believe we all here, we love the Lord.
Amen.
And I have no doubt about that. Otherwise, we won't be here. But for the longest time, I have a real concern, not only with us, but even in the churches generally, that our seeking of the Lord, our desire, our longing for the Lord, is actually not quite matching what we say. You know, we love the Lord, we want the Lord, etc. But the actual seeking in reality is not so deep. It is not so intense. And to me, that is deeply unsatisfying. You know, in the Lord's recovery, this precious recovery of the Lord, we are blessed with the very best. We are blessed with such a rich and untold riches of an inheritance, spiritual inheritance. For example, in the very last years of Brother Witness Lee's life, he gave the high peak of the divine revelation. And truly, that revelation, that central revelation that he spoke about was a high peak, or was at a high peak. Now, it's next year will be the 20th year of his passing away, and I think in these 20 years, that revelation, that grand and high vision that has given to us pertaining to God's economy has more than withstood the test of time. That if anything else, if anything, today we can all affirm that that revelation is indeed something of the highest order. Sometimes I would even say this, that very few people today probably can have a meaningful conversation with the Apostle Paul if he shows up. But I think Lee is one of them that can carry on a meaningful conversation where you understand each other. Do you see what I'm saying? Not that many. This. I cannot have any meaningful conversation with some astrophysicist in Berkeley. We're in two different places. I mean, he knows all these things about, right, physics and cosmology and all of these things. So how can I carry on a meaningful conversation with this scientist. In the same way. But I believe that what the Lord has given us in his recovery is a revelation of the top order. Amen. It is the depth of the divine revelation. It is the most central, and it is certainly the highest peak. That God wants to become man, to make man God in life and nature, so that he would be one with God and become God's very expression. Am I right? Corporate expression. And so on and so forth. Eventually ending with this final, conclusive, consummate product or goal or attainment. And that would be the marvelous New Jerusalem. How many people can interpret the New Jerusalem like Brother Lee? You tell me. Last night I talked about Augustine, who wrote about the city of God. He tried, I think, to put it kind of simply, right, to describe that city. And my goodness, compared to I think we have a little book by Brother Lee in his last years about the interpretation of the New Jerusalem for the Lord's living seekers. A book just like that. And you just read that book on the interpretation of the holy city. And let me tell you, you won't get that anywhere else. So, and every detail almost of that city has been expounded in such a marvelous way, fully in line with God's divine eternal economy. So we have that. But brothers and sisters, may I say this morning, the higher the revelation, the deeper we should go in our experience.
Amen.
To match the revelation that we see. Or else, listen to me, or else risk that revelation becoming a doctrine. A mere doctrine. A good one. A correct one. An orthodox one, but nevertheless, just a doctrine. And that doctrine eventually would just be occupy us in the sense, in the form of mere knowledge. Do you know this is Laodicea? You want to know what is the church in Laodicea? It is a church who boasted that I am rich, that I see, that I am clothed, not knowing that in fact, in reality, that they are wretched and miserable, blind and naked and poor. That is a church that once held the very best. In fact, they may still hold it in knowledge. But the fact of the knowledge of Christ, but yet the one they thought they knew, the person of this one is outside. Let us be warned, dear saints, those of us who are in the Lord's recovery, let us be warned that this happen to us just the same. Maybe to some degree it has happened already. When Brother Lee spoke about the high peak not too soon, long after that, he gave us a warning. He said, I'm concerned this high peak has become a movement. A movement. So we all can say these things. We all can proudly declare these things because we have seen it. We have seen it. But actually, it has become just a kind of outward movement without the inward reality. I feel the time has come, brothers and sisters, in the Lord's recovery, we need to plunge into the depth.
Amen.
It is in the depth that we discover the height.
Amen.
It is in our inner deep experiences of Christ with the Lord that the high peak is realized, is experienced, is, I would say, worked out. Therefore, it should be that we in the Lord's recovery should be a most seeking people of all people. And I would say we should be the most seeking Christians of all Christians. That we would not boast at all of what we have. We're happy. We're grateful. That's okay. But never boastful. Because it's one thing to know these things, and it is important to know these things. It's another to what? To live these things.
Amen.
To be a testimony of these things. And to have that testimony, to have that expression, to have that reality. And there's only one way. There's only one way. And that is we have to be in the depths with the Lord. Talk about uniting. Talk about mingling. Talk about incorporating. All these wonderful, wonderful things of truth. Where do they take place? Today, this morning, will you mingle with the Lord?
Amen.
Were you united with the Lord? Were you incorporated with Him just today?
Amen.
How about now? Or is it just beautiful thought? Wonderful understanding. But in actuality, you're nowhere near. Christ is knocking outside the door, longing to come in to dine and sup with us, and we with Him. That's Laodicea. So this burden is very deep within me. It drives me. Myself even. I'm not talking to you. Myself. And so, in these days, my burden is to help all of us to enter into the veil.
Amen.
Go outside of the camp.
Amen.
And enter into the veil. We have a song on this. You know, that is actually Hebrews in one sentence. Enter the veil, the song says, go without the camp. It is in actually the veil, even recently in our Itero, messages from Gold Coast, Australia, that talks about what? That talks about eating the hidden manna. Listen, hidden manna. There's manna and there's manna. There's general manna that we all eat. But there's hidden manna that few will feed on. Few will feed on. And the eating of the hidden manna portrays what? This picture, this wonderful human and divine incorporation, where this manna is in the pot, golden pot, and the golden pot is in the ark, and the ark is in the holiest of all, showing the incorporation between God and man. And if you are eating that hidden manna, you must live in the reality of that incorporation.
Amen.
Or put it another way, you eat yourself into that incorporation.
Amen.
These are deep thoughts. Who would talk about this today in the Christian circles? Hidden manna, incorporation. What is the golden pot? But my point is to experience this awesome incorporation of God and man, you have to feed on something hidden. You have to be in the depths of God. You have to be in the depths of His being to feed on that particular portion. And only that hidden manna is a memorial before the Father. That is something that will exist until eternity. That's the only thing that is not temporal, but eternal in nature. You see my point, brothers and sisters? I'm so burdened that we would all enter in.
Amen.
To a deeper place.
Amen.
For the Lord to do something in His recovery, for the Lord to have a move in Northern California, what is needed is not just a group of saints who just know these things or can talk about these things, but a group of people who live in these things, who possess the reality of these things in experience. And so I use this matter of the face of God this weekend as a way for us to see, for as a way even for us to enter into these matters. I ask us to sing 784. By the way, I would like to really, really recommend the hymnal as one way for us to fellowship with the Lord Jesus. The hymnal. The hymnal. I think for most of us, our enjoyment of this hymnal is really not where it should be. You have probably entered into 10-20% of the riches of this hymnal. Actually, many hymns you actually don't even sing. They're just sitting there. There are many hymns, especially with an asterisk, which means they're written by Brother Lee. You have not sang them. Last night we sang 812, which we sang again this morning, because it's such an incredibly beautiful song. Not only the melody or the tune, but the content or the lyrics that are so fitting. Simple words, but yet so moving and so touching. This kind of hymn helped me very, very much in my fellowship with the Lord. And I call 784 this morning. Why? Because in this hymn, again, this thought of seeking the Lord's face is there. It's the theme of this song. Whereas 812 falls under the study of the word section, this hymn, 784, falls under the prayer section. And the prayer and the word is back to back in this hymnal. So I like to say these days, go to these sections and get into these hymns, and don't just get into them, go verse by verse. I underline myself. I highlight these hymns. Don't be so quick. You know, today everything has to be quick. Everything has to be instant. No, I say a strong no to that. I reject that. As far as our spiritual experiences are concerned, there's no quickness. Speed is not a virtue. In fact, if anything, what is needed is more lingering. Amen. What is needed is more remaining. Amen. What is needed is more abiding. Amen. And that translates into time. And I'm here to fight. I'm here to fight against the culture today. The dominant trend or lifestyle today in this digital age, in this internet age, where everything has to be fast. Maybe at your work, at your other endeavors, you have to be fast. But when it comes to the Lord, reject that. I would say stop. The first thing is to stop. You've got to stop yourself. It's so hard to stop. Even for some of us, you know, serving the Lord, you've got to stop. This morning, what came to me again was the case of Mary, the sister of Martha. You know that. We're in Luke 10 or in somewhere. Mary, Martha was, in the Lord's words, was anxious, serving. The original meaning is she's going on in every direction. She's just busy. A busy bee, just flying in every direction with a good heart to serve the Lord, to take care of needs, really. And her sister, Mary, would just sit there at the Lord's feet. At the Lord's feet. Let me take a quick look here, if I can find it. And Yeah, in chapter 10 of Luke. And it says, Mary sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to his word. Now, please pray read this. Okay, reflect on this. Don't let this just go, this story. She sat at the Lord's feet. She stopped herself. She could have been running around just as well, doing many things, necessary things, by the way. She sat. She stopped at the Lord's feet in a submissive stance. In a position ready to listen, ready to hear, and ready to obey. And she was there at the feet listening to his word. Brothers and sisters, you know what is needed today? Some people who would sit at the feet of the Lord and listen. And listen. Did you listen? Did you hear his word? His word, brothers and sisters. His word. How much did you hear of him? Even this morning, did you hear him? Did he say something to you personally? Did you get something, receive some particular utterances from him in your spirit or not? And then, of course, Martha was complaining about that, you know, why am I serving and she's just sitting there? The Lord said, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but there is need of one thing. I'd like you to pray read this. There's a need of one thing. Dear ones, don't forget this one thing. There's only one thing that is most needful. For Mary has chosen the good part. What is this one thing? This one thing is Mary's choice. Was Mary's choice. And her choice was the good part. You know, if you read the, this recovery version is just absolutely so useful, so wonderful. And so in this verse 42, you find the footnote in Psalms 16, where it talks about the Lord prophesy concerning Christ, who care for the one thing. And that one thing is simply the inheritance from his Father. Christ, God the Father. I believe I'm correct. You can go check it out. What is the good part, dear ones? What is the essential thing? The essential thing is Christ to be our portion. Amen. Christ as our lot. Amen. Christ as our unique enjoyment. Amen. That is the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. My burden with all of you is not that you don't seek the Lord or you don't love the Lord to make you seek the Lord or love the Lord. No. My burden is that you would seek him in a deeper way.
Amen.
That I'm concerned about. Maybe for some of you, in the last 5 years, your seeking has not increased. It's the same. Some of you, from the time you graduated from the full-time training until now, your seeking has remained at the same level. Perhaps with some of you, it has gone downhill. You sought the Lord more when you were in Anaheim than today. Quite possible. You're still in the church life. You're still faithful to do the things. You're for the Lord's recovery. I have no question about that. And praise the Lord for that. But I'm talking about your seeking. I'm talking about your relationship with the Lord. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. That blessing of hunger, is it still there? That blessing of thirst, is it still there? Or are you just here, well, I did my morning revival, I read the 2 pages in the Holy Word, I show up in the meetings, I, you know, even open my home. How about that? All wonderful, by the way. All wonderful. Don't take me wrong. But yet, that seeking is gone. And so, you are just superficial. You are just here, just kind of bobbing on. Bobbing along. And even when I see you year after year, I don't detect a greater thirst in you. A deeper depth, I don't detect it. Good brother, good sister, no doubt. I will always say that. But my heart aches a little bit for you, because I don't see that. Here we are, 500 saints. It's not a small thing, working brothers and sisters, constituting the waist of the body. The pillars, they should be, or you should be. In some sense, we represent the condition of the Lord's recovery. And this weekend, my burden is to put a spotlight on that condition. I want you to look at it. Not about some other people, but yourself.
Amen.
Where are you? Where are you as far as the depth of your seeking of the Lord? So this song, 784, pray to fellowship with Jesus in the Spirit. Seek his face. See, right away, this matter of face emerges. Must be very, very much in the hymn writer's feeling. That sentiment, that picture. Ask and listen in his presence. I mean, each one of these lines is full of experience. And I believe the picture of Mary is very much in the thought of the writer here. Waiting in the secret place. Brothers and sisters, is there a secret place, a secret spot? Even physically, is there a secret spot where you meet with the Lord? and in your spirit and in your daily life, is there a secret place? Or your life is just all public? What you see is what you get. I'm just, you see it, that's me. There's no depth there. There's nothing secret there. There's nothing hidden there. There's no chamber life. There's no closet experience. There is no hidden manna. Pray to fellowship with Jesus fully open from within. Open. I take the liberty this weekend to speak like this because I've been speaking to you for 2 years, haven't I? You know, on Lord's Day. So I feel this weekend I cannot just speak generally, treating you like, you know what I mean. By your age, by your learning, you should be deep. You should be in the depths. You say, I'm only 20-something. Exactly, that's what I mean. I remember when I was 20-something. I was in the depths. At least I was seeking to be in the depths. No, it's not a matter of getting physically older. With thy face unveiled, beholding, single, pure, and genuine. You see, beholding again. Unveiled face again. Verse 3, pray to fellowship with Jesus, seeking him. Again, seeking him. Seeking him. Seek his face. So, I have here some more verses. Last night I gave you a bunch of verses. Here I have some more verses concerning the Lord's face, except last night the verses I gave you, in the Old Testament particularly, were all about the shining of his face. This morning I want to talk, give you verses on the seeking of that face. Psalm 27, a wonderful psalm. Verse 4, a wonderful verse. One thing. Amen? We just talk about Mary's one thing. Here's the one thing again. One thing I have asked from Jehovah, that do I seek. Asking, seeking, pervading the thought of the psalmist. To dwell in the house of Jehovah all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Jehovah, and to inquire in his temple. Verse 7 in 784, pray to fellowship with Jesus, bathing in his countenance, saturated with his beauty, radiate his excellence. It comes from this verse, Psalm 27. Here he said, this is the thing that I'm seeking. This is what I'm asking of God, that I can dwell in his house all the days of my life, just to behold his beauty. I mean, this man consider looking at the Lord's face, beholding his beauty, to be the one thing, the only thing that is worth anything in his life. Do you have that feeling? Or is that one of the things? Seeking the Lord is one of the things, many things I do. Just like in the computer, there are many screens, and one of the screens is the Lord. You multitask, and one of the tasks is the Lord. Does God deserve the whole screen? That at least when you come to Him, you shut off all the other screens. Amen. That was the case with the seeker in Psalm 27. And in verse 8 of the same psalm, when you say, seek my face. Now, the Lord Jehovah is saying this. Seek my face. My people, seek my face. It's as if this was his longing. This was his longing. He wants his people to seek his face. Or in other words, he wants to see his people's face. To you, my heart says, my heart says, your face, O Jehovah, will I seek. There's a response in the heart, in our heart, in a seeker's heart. O Lord, your face will I seek. My, what a response. How happy the Lord would be to hear this from our heart. Not wait a minute. Not wait till I get this done. When I have time. You are not my priority, by the way. I have to get these things done first. Then it's your turn, Jehovah. We don't say that, but in fact, that's what we're saying. Where have you relegated the Lord? What position does he occupy, really, in your life? That's my concern. He doesn't care what you know. He cares where you are. Psalm 24, verse 6. This is the generation of those who seek him, those who seek your face, even Jacob. The Lord is longing for a people, not just one or two, but Jacob, Israel, a whole generation. And I speak to a whole generation, a new generation, an upcoming generation of working saints. I like to see this generation as defined as a generation that seek God's face. Amen. That characterized this generation. Their intense seeking. Their panting and longing after the Lord's face. And if this is the situation in the churches, I have no doubt there will be a revival. How can there not be a revival? Amen. When the face of the Lord is with us all the time. Sought after by us every moment. Psalms 105, verse 4. Seek Jehovah and his strength. Seek his face continually, constantly. Right? Isn't that the word in Psalm 8:12? Beholding constantly. Am I right? That's where it comes from. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I underline the word diligently, that adverb. It's not just those who seek him, but those who seek him in a particular way, in a diligent way. Diligent means what? Means what? That means you're hard at it. Am I right? That means it's a kind of a non-stop effort. Diligently seek him. I really pray that in Northern California, really in the Lord's recovery, there is a people. And I wish that people includes everyone here. Amen. That would seek the Lord diligently. Amen. Every time you have. Yes, you have to live your life. Yes, you have to discharge your various responsibilities, either in your job or in your family, in your marriage. I'm not saying that you don't do that. You just go off into a mountain. But brothers and sisters, it's a condition, and it's an acquired condition. Of a constant seeking after the Lord. That day and night just drives you into his presence. If you are like this, I tell you, the word would be so different to you. It's not just a book, you know, that you can read or not read. What? This is optional. Reading the Bible is optional. Coming to his word is optional. That was not optional to Mary. Where is the Lord, brothers and sisters? We even say, Lord, I love you. Lord Jesus, I love you, which is a good thing to say. It's always good to say that. But what does that mean? Lord, I love you. What does that mean? To a junior high school, when they say that, that means something. But to us, 20, 30, 40 something, it should not mean the same thing as a junior high and high school when they say that word. John Nelson Darby, in his 80s, found himself in a little inn in one of his travels, sighed at the end of a day, a long day, a tiring day. Lord, I still love you. From the mouth of an 80-year-old man, it's not the same as a junior high saying that. Brothers and sisters, accompany your love with a great seeking. Amen. Of his face. Amen. Then it means something. Amen. I wrote this hymn in your hand. Sisters, do you know the tune, Be Thou My Vision? Okay. I wrote this with six passages or verses. That didn't just kind of came up in my head. It was over many weeks of this burden percolating, and it just came together one day. Verse 1, is chapter 4, verse 6 of 2 Corinthians. Verse 2 is chapter 3, verse 18, 2 Corinthians. Verse 3 is chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1, I believe verse 14 and 16. You can double check. Verse 4, it is chapter 3 of 1 John. Verse 4 or 5, you can please check. And verse 5 is Revelation 22, verse 4. And then verse 6 is Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. And all on this theme of his face. And last night I made it more than clear that the face simply translates into presence. Oh, the presence. I remember I was talking about high school. I was a high schooler. What was one of my favorite hymn? It was that hymn written by Watchman Nee in this case. It's not deep, but as an introduction for this newly saved high schooler or junior higher at that time, it was a very sweet song. Lord Jesus, I long in thy presence to live. Do you know that hymn? From morning till evening, my one world thou art. This young Christian was taken by that hymn. That longing for the Lord's presence was planted, that thought, that desire was planted in me at a very young age. It talks about, I think, eventually about when I read your word, may your light shine on every line. You remember that? When I'm distracted, don't let me go. Bring me back. Something like this. I don't even remember the words because I learned it in Chinese. And what is my point? This is my point. That as young and as sort of really immature as I was, I acquire a taste. A taste of the Lord's presence that remains with me until today. Now, I am much more deeper with the Lord today, for sure. But that taste remains the same. I found him at an early age. And that taste draws me back. Again and again and again. I want that taste. I cannot live without that taste. Amen. So, sisters, I thought you're up there already. So, this tune is an Irish hymn called Be Thou My Vision. It is not in our hymnal, but a traditional hymn, a classic one that is popular. And I love this very simple meter of this melody. So I like to ask them to just play, and then we can just sing this. Amen. All right? So you take this and you enjoyed it. There are many hymns like this, and I'm sure I drew inspiration from them. But anyway, I hope you can deep dive into these riches and these resources to help you be with the Lord. Amen. Now, with the remaining 10 minutes before we have a break, I'd like to say something to put the Lord's face, the seeking of his face, and the coming to his word together. Because that is still the burden of this weekend, to come to his dear word. The important thing to realize here is no longer the word to us should be something objective, something just something that God has inspired, surely it is, or something that God has written through his prophets, through his servants who were inspired by the Spirit. And that is also true. But my heart's burden this weekend is to bring you, to uplift you, to see God's word as God's face. Amen. To see God's word as God's person. Amen. That when you come to the word of God, in fact, you come to himself. Amen. That you come before him. You are spending time in his presence to be infused, to be shined upon, to be radiated into by his very, very essence. You remember the word in 2 Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed. There's nothing more dear, nothing more intrinsic than one's breath. So that means the word is just God himself, the essence of God in the form of breath coming to us, to be breathed, to be inhaled by us, and thus receiving himself and all of his element and all of his riches. And this is the only way that human beings can be mingled with God, can be blended with the Lord. This is a huge subject that I am planning to spend a lot more time here and there to get into. But this morning, let me just say a few things about how this word should, or what our attitude towards this word should be. And really, I have another four outlines that should accompany this outline that I didn't give to you, and I will give it to you. So you have eight outlines to help you to get into this. Amen.
Amen.
I hope you don't feel tired or just simply overwhelmed by this. You know, once you touch the Lord, you cannot get enough of it.
Amen.
You want more.
Amen.
You just want more.
Amen.
I wish all your spiritual capacity would increase and be enlarged.
Amen.
Your spiritual stomach would be in a constant distended state.
Amen.
The best place to appreciate how our attitude should be towards the word in this way are in the life study of Exodus. When Brother Lee spoke about the law in the sense of the day and not in the sense of the night. And those few messages I don't remember in the 60-something of the life study of Exodus are simply classic. Classic. And so I drew upon them in this particular outline. You'll get it later on. So, this is how the Old Testament saints handle the Word of God. This is the way they did. This is their attitude. And this is the way they love the Word of God because they love the Lord Himself. So I'll be very, very quick. Most of these are found in Psalm 119, that famous psalm on God's Word. Believing it. Okay, these are all, what do you call it, gerunds, or what do you call it? Believing it. That means believing the Word, right? Believing it. Choosing it. Loving it. Delighting in it. Tasting it. Rejoicing in it. Respecting it. Having a sound heart in it. Inclining their heart unto it. Seeking it. Longing for it. Hoping in it. Trusting in it. Esteeming it. Treasuring it, standing in awe of it, cleaving to it, not forsaking it, not swerving from it, not turning aside from it, not going astray from it. Turning their feet unto it. Walking in it. Running the way of it. These are just all in this song. Do you see this, brothers and sisters? How these Old Testament seekers of God, how they love the law, God's word, the scripture. And how, because they love the Lord, they sought Jehovah, the law did not kill them. Are you following me? The law was eventually taken in the right way. God's law was not for people to keep. God's law, as his expression, is for people to enjoy. And some of them, they got it. The Lord's person and his word, we're not separated. We're not divorced one from another. Whenever they come to the law, to the scripture, they come to his face. They come to himself. This principle remains the same in the New Testament.
Amen.
The same. We should never treat this, the Bible, as something different or apart from the Lord himself.
Amen.
That we would consider the Holy Word along with the Holy Spirit the two greatest gifts that the Lord has left to us after he ascended, to be both the Lord himself.
Amen.
He is the Spirit and he is the Word.
Amen.
The Spirit brings us his essence. And the Word brings us what? His realization. And you put the two together, let me tell you, you know what that is? When the Spirit and the Word meets, and I'll tell you how they meet. They meet in prayer. When the Word and the Spirit are conjoined, are blended and mingled in our experience, in our intake, they translate into one thing, God's face, God's presence. I don't believe anyone can enjoy the Lord's presence fully without these two things. You may have the Spirit, and you do have the Lord's presence to a degree, but not the richest kind. And if you have the Word, but if you don't have the Spirit, there is a risk that it is mere knowledge and understanding. But when the two are put together, by way of our musing, by way of our masticating, by way of our prayer, by way of our chewing, by way of our digesting and assimilating spiritually, I tell you, brothers and sisters, this is where we meet the Lord. Amen. This is how we know the Lord. Amen. This is how we experience Christ. Amen. This is where we are mingled with Him. Amen. This is where we are saturated and permeated by Him. Amen. And this life before His face, this life that cannot be without His Spirit, neither His Word, must be our central life, must be our daily life. Every one of us must spend time living this life every day. Every day. My hope and my burden is that you will find that. You will enter into it, and you will go deeper and deeper into that. Amen. Yesterday, the sister here testified how he dropped her kid off. Am I right? And then because she has some time, because of traffic, whatever, she'll be stuck in traffic anyway, so she found some place, park her car, put up the shades, whatever, for I don't know how long, just to be with the Lord. Amen. Brothers and sisters, do you do that? I don't mean in that exact same way, but I mean in principle. Do you do that? Let me tell you, if you don't have a hunger for it, you will never do it. You will consider that a waste of time. My time is better spent on many necessary things. I need to get this done. That schedule is calling for me. I got that appointment. The Lord? What Lord? No wonder we drift perpetually in a superficial Christian existence. Year after year in the church life. Well, I think you got my, at least to some degree, my burden. In the second meeting, I'm going to come back to the outline to talk about two things. The first two things in handling the Word. One is to read the word, even reading the word. Number two, to pray the word. I feel there needs to be a revival in reading the Bible. There needs to be a revival in praying the word of God. No local churchy routine. No just duty. A good brother reads the Bible. No just a kind of formulaic pray reading. No, no, no. I'm talking about his face.
Amen.
I'm talking about a revived seeking.
Amen.
That we have not seen, that maybe you have not experienced before this time. So even during the break, I hope you would not all just talk about this or that. I hope you will all spend some time to pray.
Amen.
To the Lord.
Amen.